You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Shirley MacLaine must have been right when she talked about reincarnation. I know I must have been a cat in a previous life. I just love being rubbed, kneaded, and massaged. There is little else that'll get me to purr like a masseuse with a knowing, firm touch. Well, now our dogs can benefit from massage techniques that you can learn at home. Raquel Wynn, a certified personal trainer, strength and conditioning coach, licensed massage and neuromuscular therapist, as well as an avid animal lover, has combined this passion for optimizing the health and well-being of others and led her to release her first book, Stretch Your Dog Healthy. We'll be right back with Ms. Wynn after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Do you love your dog? Then you'll love feeding him mouth-watering, all-natural treats, lovingly handmade by a professional caterer who wanted the very best for her dogs. Make no mistake about it, these are not ordinary dog treats. These are doggy delights, like breakfast banana biscotti, honey bear peanut butter balls, yummy apple cinnamon mini cakes, and so much more. Your dog will howl in delight. And now you can get a scrumptious sample pack by going to dingersdogtreats.com. It's a $25 value, yours for just $9.95 through this special radio offer. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Every one of these gourmet doggy treats is handmade from the finest ingredients and taste tested on our own dogs. Your dog will love them. Get $25 worth of doggy delights now for just $9.95. Go to dingersdogtreats.com now. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Yum.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Raquel, I love this idea, and I actually saw one of your short little videos online, and this dog just looked like it was enjoying life. I can totally understand where it's coming from. How did you decide to write this book in the first place?
Well, I'm glad you like the videos, and yes, the dogs love it, I must say. I decided to write this book after working with dogs and horses and various other animals, as well as humans, and realized the need to empower owners to kind of impart the same loving, healthy benefits that touch can bring.
So your background, can you go into it a little bit about, you know, you first started off with animals or people? Which one?
I first started as an athlete myself, and that kind of got my love for the body and movement. And then I started my professional career with humans, and from there started working with horses, and then later branched out to canines and various other animals, birds, cats, you name it.
So birds, we'll have to get into that one, but I'd love to see how you can massage and manipulate a bird. That one's going to be a good one.
A wing pull and a beak rub. That's about it.
Okay. What was your sport?
I was a swimmer.
And that's definitely something where you need some massaging after all that hard work.
Oh, yeah. And I had some injuries myself, so I started pursuing holistic and natural means of just feeling great after working the soft tissue, the muscles of the body, and that kind of got my love for holistic health and stretching and massage going.
Now, you were talking a little bit about you did some work on horses. Now, here's this huge, strong animal. And people, I think some of the listeners have heard about using acupuncture or acupressure mm-hmm. on horses and dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. How do you actually work on a horse? It just seems to be too huge to really be able to manipulate those muscles.
Well, actually, it's important to remember that animals are nonverbal and they're extremely cued into the energy systems or the nerve path, the nervous systems of other animals and humans. So, in fact, it's actually easier to work with animals, even if they are a large horse, and get some results than it is for a lot of humans. I'd say the horses are easier than the football players.
They're big, strong guys. They don't want to show where it hurts, you know, yeah.
Exactly. And also, I think the fact that animals don't have the same psychological blocks that humans do. So once they feel that something is benefiting them, their body really responds rather quickly.
I can see if it feels good, yes, just give yourself over to it. Mm-hmm. Don't fight it.
Exactly.
Now, with all the work that people have done with T-touch for dogs and cats and acupressure, how did you get into stretching, focus on stretching versus some of the other modalities that it's out there right now for trying to help dogs and cats and people?
Well, I think the difference with those modalities, and they're extremely valid and useful and helpful, but the difference with stretching is that it incorporates movement with the body to heal. And I think movement is a really essential part to natural healing. So for me, stretching was giving me a lot more benefits on my clients than just, say, a static hold or an acupressure release. Because while those static means of therapy can get a muscle to soften, it doesn't really do that much for increasing range of motion in the joints like the movement does. So it's a nice complement to kind of couple them.
So this is, in a way, almost like Pilates for pups?
It is like Pilates in the sense that you are cueing the body to be in different positions and different ranges of motion. So in a sense, you're retraining what's called the cell memory of the body to remember what it can do. Because in life, you tend, even dogs, just like humans, you tend to get body breakdown just from normal everyday living, be it sitting around too much, couch potatoes, or weekend warriors, or improper nutrition. So it is like Pilates in that it is providing movement and recueing the body to get back to a state of symmetry, balance, and health. Yeah, it is very similar.
Explain a little bit about body breakdown. That's just a term I'm not familiar with.
When I speak of body breakdown, I'm really referring to just kind of the natural process of aging. So it's true that we are all going to age, and the systems of the body are going to slow down. You'll lose elasticity in the muscles, you know, just the basic changes that we face when we age. But body breakdown is something that you cannot stave off forever, but you can control the speed at which it occurs. So the whole idea of stretching and massaging your dog is to increase longevity and have the animal feel as healthy and pain-free while it's alive.
Well, you're exactly right about dogs in particular, but we know cats will have it too, being plagued with joint problems, mobility mm-hmm. problems, because we know about 1 in 5 adult dogs suffer with arthritis. And so many times clients come in and, oh, well, doc, it's just getting old, it just can't
right.
move. In
right.
reality, there's a problem. And degenerative joint disease, arthritis, there's so many factors, but something like this dog stretching could really help. And yes, I agree. We're all getting older and we all get a little bit more stiff. Getting out of my desk chair is not as easy
exactly.
as it used to be.
Dogs experience, as you know, about 200 to 300 common diseases with humans. So dogs in particular are creatures that like to emulate our lifestyle, and we like to bring them along and have them participate in all our endeavors. So we're seeing more than ever obesity, diabetes, arthritis, hip dysplasia, spine issues, some of the same things that humans are facing.
So this doggy stretching can really help them. I guess it's more like yoga than actually Pilates, isn't it?
It is. You know, you speak of Pilates and yoga, and the reason that I'm agreeing that it's similar is because both of those modalities incorporate movement, which is essential to cueing what I call the cell memory. And by that, I just mean your body knows when it's in a state of symmetry or imbalance. So the key is to try to remind your body of what it is capable of. So yeah, it's similar to Pilates and yoga. The difference is that you are performing this on your dog. So you're not really asking your dog to stretch on his own, although all dogs do stretch on their own. You are helping them get to areas and stretches that they cannot do themselves, which in fact leads to greater range of motion of the joints, increased healing in the muscular system, flushing of the lymph system, hydration in the muscles, calmness in the nervous system. All kinds of benefits come from yoga, Pilates, and stretching.
Because I've seen some books and magazines that talk about having doggy yoga and people and their dogs doing the down dog position and the rest of it. And I look at it going, yep, this is a good marketing ploy, but I don't think it works. This sounds wonderful.
Well, thanks for the support.
Anytime. How do you start your dog with stretching? What age do you start them with, for instance?
I mean, you can start at zero. You can really start, you know, moving your dogs from puppyhood, knowing that puppies have a little bit more elasticity in their joints, so you want to be gentle. But it's important to start touching and moving your dogs from a very, very early age. My inspiration for the book was a rescue dog of mine, Angus. And he was about 5 or 6 when I got him, with all kinds of joint issues and immobility problems and aggression issues. And I started him on stretching when he was 5 or 6, and he has responded amazingly. In fact, he is Dr. Gus in my book, imparting words of wisdom to all. But I would say you could start a dog, you know, at really whatever age. It's never too late to get on a healthy program for a human or an animal.
Are there some basic stretches or basic moves that people should start with? I saw in your video this little dog moving the little front leg and pulling it out and extending it and stretching it, going, wait a minute, I do that when I do a range of motion test during my examinations looking for arthritis, going, this is a great idea.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I would say that, you know, if owners could keep up with things like stretching to check for range of motion, they will be able to keep up with changes in their dog's body, which helps when you're working with your vet to just kind of know your dog's body, know what problems are coming on, and even staving them off. But as far as starting a routine, it's important to start slow because a lot of this is going to be new for your dog, and you're going to want to go with just the basic extensions, you know, extending the leg forward, pulling it back before you get into some of the advanced moves. So I have in my book, I have it broken down into some of the easier stretches and then some of the more advanced stretches when your dog starts really getting the hang of it.
It's definitely sounding like yoga where you can do some of the basic moves. Okay, first try and touch your toes
yes.
before you can get some of these other moves that they have. And you look at them going, how do people get themselves in these, you know, knots? And they're able
pretzel,
to do it.
Pretzel people.
Definitely pretzel people. It's like, okay, they were gymnasts at one point in time.
Right.
Is it easy for people to learn how to do this? Can they actually learn it from a book?
Yes, and actually I get that question a lot, and it is really easy because you can't really go wrong when you're being gentle and you have the proper intention. You can't really go wrong as long as you're paying attention to your dog's body and how he's cueing you. You know, the owners have a much better rapport with their own dogs and a trust level with their own dogs than, say, taking it to a vet or a chiropractor or a massage therapist. So I think it's actually easier for owners to work on their own dogs than taking it to a professional. They're much more responsive to their owners because of the pet parent trust.
You're right, because a lot of dogs and cats will walk into that practice and they have what we call the white coat syndrome. And people have it too. All of a sudden you see that white coat and your blood pressure and mine goes up and you start becoming apprehensive and the pets become a little bit tense. So I can see that a pet parent can definitely say, okay, we're at home, we're in our own surroundings, and let's just work together slowly. Now, Raquel, you had mentioned some cues that owners should be aware of. If you're massaging your dog, you're trying to do a stretch, and my cat's in my lap right now and stretching out a little leg, if all of a sudden the ears go flat, I know that I should probably stop what I'm doing because the next thing the cat's going to tell me is, you've gone too far. What cues should people look for in their own dogs?
Well, Bernadine, you're right about just the basic body language cues, and I think dogs are really good at letting you know. You might get like a quick glance or the ears going flat or resistance to that stretch. And what I suggest is just paying attention to these cues and slowing down your approach, because sometimes you'll find you will be incorporating a stretch with your dog and you will get that reaction like, hey, whoa, 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 wait a minute. But what that dog is saying is, hey, this is an area that's really sensitive for me. So it's important to actually focus on that area, but just be more gentle in your approach. So I have found that sometimes the areas that get the most reaction are the places that need the most work.
It's fantastic that you're telling people to do this at home, because so often a person will bring in a pet and will, for whatever reason, maybe it has an upset stomach, and I'm taking an x-ray and I see the hips are in this view, and I'll say, oh, by the way, I'm sure you're aware that your pet has just some terrible arthritis. You know, it must be having a difficult time getting up and down. And so many times there is this total shock, you know, it's incongruity, but what do you mean that it has arthritis? No, doc, it's doing fine. But if they were doing movements like this, they would actually see that, no, this is an area that's problematic. And these subtle changes that they're seeing at home can really be significant, need to bring it to their veterinarian's attention.
Completely. And also, on that note, you know, the body has a tendency to overcorrect and overprotect. So oftentimes you see a body where there's an area of injury, the body will try to immobilize that. And you've probably seen where increased areas of inflammation and lack of movement. But we know now that movement is how the body heals. So in fact, even when you get knee surgery, let's say an ACL surgery or hip surgery, it's really important to start incorporating movement pretty quickly after that surgery. So movement is in fact how the body heals. So it's up to us to kind of coax the body through the pain cycle and say, I know you're guarding this area, but we need to look at it. You know, you need to move it, hydrate it, and allow that natural healing to take place.
Well, we've been listening to Raquel Wynn tell us about why it's so necessary to stretch that dog, to know your dog, to keep your dog in its optimal condition so it can live a long, healthy life. We're going to be breaking for a short message and be back, and she's going to tell us all about a dirty dog syndrome. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Raquel, this is just some great information. What I love about it is that people can do this at home, and it really is having them aid me, because too many times their dog will come into an office call. They say, oh, it's been limping, Doc, on this leg, and you watch it now move up and down the hallway, and it's hiding those signs because of that adrenaline rush. So this is a great way for the owner to really see what's going on and bring it to a doctor's attention before it's really a major problem.
Exactly. And that is another thing I hope people realize, is that stretching and massage should not just be used when there is an injury or there is an issue, but rather you can use it, like you're saying, to kind of keep track of your dog's health as he progresses through life. And as you're saying, the sooner you catch on to any changes, the more likely you are of correcting that imbalance in the body.
Now, are there some conditions that you shouldn't be using stretch therapy for?
You know, I think that anytime you have a dog with, let's say, you know, there's different levels of arthritis and hip dysplasia and elbow dysplasia. There's all different stages of the disease. And so what I suggest is, if you have a dog that has a specific injury, let's say his spine has some issues or the hip has issues, talk to your vet and make sure that the vet okays you to take those joints through a range of motion. The one thing I would caution is, if you have a dog with severe issues where there's excess laxity in the joint, like, for example, hip dysplasia, where the ball and socket, the femur just isn't hooking into the socket, stretching is not going to help that, because what you want to do in that case is strengthen all the connective tissue. So if you're dealing with dogs with acute orthopedic issues, you want to definitely talk with your vet about it. But 90% of the time, the movement will in fact heal that condition, or at least diminish the pain associated with it, which is so important, since we have few options when it comes to pain, healing pain and dissuading pain in a dog's body.
Well, speaking of pain, if oftentimes people want to do the best for their pet, and there are many medications that can be used in people and pets. Itchy dogs, for instance, very frequently take diphenhydramine, also known as Benadryl. It's very safe, and they take literally a much higher dose than we do. But sometimes people trying to economize, because at this time with our economy is in dire straits as it is, okay, Doc, you know, I'd like to go in and see you. My dog's in a lot of pain, but, you know, if I'm using this medication myself, I'll go ahead and use it on my dog. And many times, there are medications for dogs and cats that can be extremely fraught with problems. Aspirin in cats can be very toxic. Naproxen being used in dogs can be very toxic. Tylenol can cause problems. So I'm glad that you brought this up, but yes, people do need to, if you ever want to use your own medications on your pet, or even medications from another pet for another one in the home, or your friend has a pet who has old problems just like what your dog's experiencing, here's the bottle of drugs, saves you a lot of money. Not a good idea.
Ask
your veterinarian first.
Totally. And that's another thing, that stretching is just a complement to some of these therapies you're talking about, and it's totally safe, and it's kind of like a thing like, why not try it? It can't hurt, so why not try it? So I agree with you. It's definitely best to consult the vet before sharing drugs.
Very good idea. Now, how about a dog that's having some cervical or neck disc problems, or that little doxy that's having a disc problem in its lower back? Will stretches help that?
stretches will help, and one thing that you need to remember with the spine is that it is a sensitive area in the sense that all the nerves kind of emanate from the spine, and you don't want to get into subluxing or, you know, rearranging, I guess what you'd say, how they're stacked up on each other, the vertebrae themselves. So what I always advise is to stretch kind of the surrounding areas in those cases. Since the body is one complete system, a shoulder or chest stretch can, in fact, improve the conditions of the neck, or a hip stretch can improve the conditions of the lumbar vertebrae. So sometimes you can access some of these spinal conditions by kind of working from both ends, working at it from around the spine.
Well, Raquel Wynn, do me a favor and talk me through stretching my dog from front to rear. What can I do?
The beauty of this is that you can spend as much time as you want stretching. You can take an hour-long session to do it. But what I love to remind people is you can basically get your dog, touch every part of his body, front to back, top to bottom, head to tail, in 5 minutes. You can access everything because you're just, again, cueing the body to heal itself. So what I say is start by a gentle hold, getting your dog in front of you, petting him, holding him, get your intention set on working and healing that body. And I always say you can start any direction. If you start by petting and just kind of a gentle massage, your dog will probably tell you what areas he wants you to start on. You know, if you get work down the spine, just gently massaging and you hit the hips and the dog kind of reacts, I say start with the hips. So let's just assume we're going to start on the dog's hips. You would take the dog, you'd do a gentle leg extension. Let's say start
standing
on the
right or lying
side.
Down?
Either way is great. Okay. Sometimes the larger dogs, you know, like to lie down, and it's easier on the practitioner to have a dog lying. But in this case, you can kind of let your dog have, you know, his say of how he wants to do it. And sometimes I'll start with a dog standing, and he'll end up lying down and just giving me his legs and kind of leading me, really, essentially. Leg extensions, both the front legs and the rear legs, are a great starting point. And then you want to get into more of the core stretches, which would be the adduction, pulling away from midline, and abduction, pulling away from midline, excuse me. I would like to say that, you know, it's important to not have a set routine in your mind of how it's going to go, because your dog is probably going to guide you through various stretches. It'd be more important to say, okay, I need to get some stretches in the lower body. Now I'm going to try for some stretches in the upper body, and then I'm going to try for some core stretches. So that would be probably a better approach than saying I'm going to do stretch number 1 through 10 in order.
I love it. You were talking at the beginning of this interview about massaging other pets. So yes, you talked about horses a little bit, mm-hmm. and then birds. Can you do this on cats? So tell me about birds and tell me about cats.
Birds and cats. Cats are definitely receptive. It depends on the cat, and it depends on your relationship with the cat. My mother's cat has actually shoulder problems, and he loves when you stretch and work that shoulder and massage it. So definitely cats are receptive. They probably are less receptive than dogs, I would say, in a whole, but again, it's a case-by-case basis. Birds, it's great to do holds with birds, like gentle holds. You can do active stretching, which is holding the birds, have the bird stand on your finger and hold his feet and kind of walk in a circle so he spreads his wings. That is a stretch that he is doing himself, so it's an active stretch. And birds really benefit because they tend to be higher strung. I have seen in my career lots of birds that tend to like pluck their feathers out or just be hyper in general. And the calming effects for birds are amazing.
Now, are these just the big birds like cockatoos, or are we talking the little cockatiels also?
Cockatiels, too. And again, you're talking about bird bones. So you have to be careful with your pressure and careful with how intense you are when you approach them. Birds tend to be, you know, more receptive to, I think, holds And by that, I mean just placing your finger, let's say, on the chest, on the sternum of the bird, or cupping your hands around the outer outer wings. They tend to be more receptive to that. But, in fact, you can stretch out their wings in various ranges of motion. You can work on their little feet. You can work on their faces and head. You know, and you're talking about a much smaller scale. So the intent there should be back off the pressure, back off the intensity, and just go for like a calming kind of an effect.
I hope all the listeners are realizing, yes, Raquel is saying be very, very gentle with these birds, even big birds, because their bones are hollow. And that's what gives them ability to fly, because if they were to have these solid, strong bones that your cat, dog, or you have, it'd be hard to get off the ground. So these very light little bones, they are so easy to damage. So be very gentle. But yes, I'm sure any bird who spends so much time in its cage to get out will go, yippee, you know, my little wings are getting stretched and this is feeling fantastic. Fantastic. Just kind of the opposite. I had teased before the break about a dirty dog syndrome. What's that?
Dirty dog syndrome is a term that I have created to describe a dog that is, in fact, dirty, and I'm talking from the inside perspective. And by this, I mean your dog is toxic either by improper nutrition or an abundance of prescription medications or exposure to chemicals like flea, tick, heartworm preventative, cleansers, pesticides, herbicides, all those kinds of things. Even impure drinking water can lead to dirty dog syndrome. And also, lack of movement and lack of exercise can. So dirty dog syndrome is typically a dog that's body systems are not doing their job in flushing out the toxins.
So how do you get these toxins flushed out? I mean, if you have a dog that lives in an area with heartworm, you kind of need the medication.
Absolutely.
Hopefully,
you do.
Most veterinarians will be saying, okay, we'll only put a pet on the medication that it truly needs. And I agree, you know, the least number of medications, the better. But how do you get some of these extraneous toxins like environmental pollutants out of the system?
Well, I think you're right. You need to assess the environment that your dog is in and act accordingly. So let's say your dog does have to take heartworm or flea prevention medications, then you know that that is something they are going to have in their system. So you might combat that by making sure that the dog gets really good food that is free of pesticides and fillers and additives. And you could even supplement it with vitamins like milk thistle that will help cleanse the liver. There's other things, good hygiene will help. So you kind of have to assess where your dog is at, what my dog needs to avoid getting any kind of disease prescription-wise, and do what you can to provide all the other clean environments that you can.
Now, does your book, Stretch Your Dog Healthy, address some of these ways of getting your dirty dog clean?
Yes, there's a whole section on detoxing your dog, and there's all kinds of tips on different herbs that you can use that are safe for your dog, different supplements. There's a section that just talks about various things, bad breath, constipation, dry skin, allergies, and different natural holistic approaches that you can take. And what you're trying to do is you're just trying to create an environment that gives your dog's body the best possible options for fending off some of this stuff. Because like you're saying, you can't really avoid sometimes taking different drugs, and they're essential. You need certain prescriptions, and sometimes you're going to be in an area where you're walking your dog and, you know, there's excess chemicals. One thing I want to say on that note, if you do walk your dog around the neighborhood, it's good to not let him get on everyone's lawn, because a lot of times people use chemicals on the lawn and your dogs pick it up. So it's kind of important to check on this, but again, you don't want to say, oh, I'm not going to walk my dog because I don't want him to be exposed to it. So you have to, it's a balancing act. You just have to make the best choices you can with the circumstances you have.
Rinse is a great idea, because Raquel, what a lot of these people, I have a practice that's in an area with a large senior community, and they do put a lot of herbicides out and trying to get rid of weeds and keep everything looking pretty. But of course, people are concerned about their dogs walking through this. So if I have an elderly client who really can't, you know, put the paws in a nice soapy water, don't let them soak for too long, because that just really opens up the skin, and sometimes those toxins then have an easier way of getting through the skin, and the skin is a good barrier. But sometimes just even using things like baby wipes and just wiping down the paws, or getting yourself a wash rag with just water and wipe down those paws and get the stuff off the skin before it sits there or before they lick it too.
Right, that's excellent advice. Like we're saying, I mean, there's certain things that you are going to encounter. So it's just trying to make the best choices with the kind of situation you've been given.
Raquel, this has just been some awesome information. Speaking of information, I know that you're also a columnist for InFocus magazine. What do you do for them?
I write a dog column called For the Love of Dog, and it's kind of a society magazine in Nashville. We cover various parties and happenings around town. And I get to impart words of wisdom about dogginess, or I report on various events going on month to month. But I typically like to vary it. Sometimes I cover events. A lot of times I put recipes in there.
For people or dogs?
For dogs, but people can eat it too. All my recipes are good for, what's good for the hound is good for the human.
I love it. Now, is this accessible online?
Actually, they do have a website. It's nfocusmagazine.com, and you can access it online.
Well, that'll be great for all those people that are not living in the Nashville area.
Right, and if they have trouble doing that, I have my columns are posted on my website.
And what is your website again? And we'll have this posted on our website, petliferadio.com, but where can they learn more about you and learn about these great recipes and how to stretch their pups?
You can either access it at stretchingspot.com or raquelwynn.com and stretchyourdoghealthy.com.
I love it. Just some wonderful information, ways that you can try to keep your pet as healthy as possible, your cat, your bird, your dog. I have a feeling you could even do this on the humans in the house, and they would love it also. Raquel, thank you so much for being with us today, because the aim of the show has always been to educate and to entertain and to make you the best pet owner that you can possibly be. So we appreciate you listening. Looking forward to having you come back next week when we have some more edutaining information. Thanks for being with us.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.